Today's daf is Megillah daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf to begin with the base. We were right in the middle of the plea that Haman was making to Achashverosh to be able to decimate the entire world Jewish community. The Gemara is going to continue by darshaning all the words that Haman says to Achashverosh, and then we're going to discuss in Yudalad Amud Aleph why it is that we don't say Hallel on Purim. Three different reasons. We'll discuss potential nafkaminas, and the Gemara is also going to, the majority of the daf is really going to discuss the number of Nevi'im and Nevi'os that we've had in the history of Klal Yisrael, that there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. The Gemara is going to raise the point that there seems to have been well more than 48 Nevi'im. We're going to identify the 7 Nevi'os, how we know that each of these women, each of these 7 women were in fact Nevi'os. It's going to tell us the whole story of the encounter between David and Avigail, and we're going to learn about Nevi'ah that was Chulda HaNevi'ah, who was in the days of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and why it is that she was permitted to be a Nevi'ah when there was someone like Yirmiyahu HaNavi around, and why Yoshio HaMelech would consult with her when there was a Navi around. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk a little bit about Yehoshua and his relationship with Rachav as well. So we are right in the middle of the discussion between Haman and Achashverosh, and we are up to, I believe, Vidaseim Shonos Mikol Am, which is three lines before the break for Tosfos over there on the page. Vidaseim Shonos Mikol Am. So Haman tells Achashverosh that their belief system, their religion, is different than all other nations. In what way? Delo Achli Minan. They don't eat from our food. They don't marry our daughters, nor do they give their daughters to marry our sons. And they don't do the laws of the king. Because they spend the whole year saying shahi pahi, which Rashi says means Shabbos hayom Pesach hayom. Every time you hire a Jewish employee, every other day you have him say, "Oh, it's Shabbos, I can't work today. It's Pesach, I can't work today." Comes up with all these holidays. Whoever heard of all these holidays? So he's never able to really be so productive. And it's not worth it for the king to leave them. Because they eat and they drink, and they through their eating and drinking, they're mevazel the king, mevazel the malchus, they're mevazel the malchus. For example, if even a fly were to fall into one of their kosos, to their drinking cup, they would just take the fly out and continue to drink. But v'madoni amelech nogeh b'kosos shalechem yem, chovto b'karko v'enu shoseu. But if the king were to touch the cup of wine that any of them were drinking, they would throw it on the ground and they would refuse to drink it. So you see, they're completely mevazi you in the way that they drink. Im al hamelech tov yikasiv la'avdam, that if it's good in the king's eyes, he should write a decree to wipe them out, and I'll give 10,000 kikar kesef. So Amr Reish Lakish, Kalev Yodul Lefnei Misha Marvaya Olam, Shasid Haman Lishkal Shkalim Al Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that one day Haman was going to take these Shkalim against Klal Yisrael. Leficha Chiktim Shiklehen Lishkalav. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makdim, allowed a mitzvah to come earlier that related to Shkalim as a to defeat the Shkalim of Haman. So we have the din of Machsa Shekel that defeats the Shkalim of Haman. V'hainu detnan be'echad ba'adar mashmin al Shkalim ve'al aklayim. And that's why be'echad ba'adar, just 2 weeks before, less than 2 weeks before Haman, so we were mashmin al Shkalim, we already started announcing about the Shkalim. So that's the kedima, that it comes a little bit earlier, right before the Shkalim of Haman. V'yomer ha-melech la-Haman ha-kesef nasan lach ba'am la-asos bo ketov be'necha. So the melech says to Haman, Achashverosh says to Haman, the money is yours, you could keep the money, and you could do whatever you want with these people, there's no problem, whatever you decide to do with these people. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Mashal da Achashverosh va Haman, Lema Dover Doma, the comparison with Achashverosh and Haman is similar to the following, L'shnei b'nei Adam, like you have two people, L'echad ha'ilo tel b'toch sedeu, L'echad ha'ilo charetz b'toch sedeu, one of them has a problem that he has a big mound of dirt in his field, and the other one has a problem that he has a big ditch in his field that he needs dirt to fill. Bal charitz amar mi yitain li tel zebedamim. So the one who has the ditch in his field is looking to buy dirt. Bal atel amar mi yitain li charitz zebedamim. The one who has the pile of dirt in his field is looking to buy a ditch so that he can get rid of the dirt. Liyam nizdav guzei etzel zen. And one day they happen to meet each other. Amar lo bal charitz bal atel mechar li tilcha. So the one who owns the ditch says to the one who owns the mound, sell me your mound. Amar lo tolos abachinam valavai. What do you mean sell me? I'd be happy to give it to you for free. So that's the story with it Achashverosh and Haman. Haman was saying, let's go wipe out the Jews, I'll be happy to give you money. Achashverosh says, money? What are you talking about? I'd be thrilled to wipe out the Jews, I don't need any money. You could go destroy all of the Jews. Now, Tosus points out on the bottom, it's an interesting ha'ara, Tosus on the bottom of Yud Gimel and Beis, HaKesef Nasal Nach, Tosus just points out, Kimachia da Kesef Ola Ha'etz. Remez lo shiyitla alav. When he says Hakesef Nasal Nach, Tosfos says Achashverosh was already being merames to Haman what his end was going to be, that he was going to be hanged on an eight. That's why Hakesef is the gematria of ha'etz. Now there are lots of gematrios that one could have said in many, many different places. Why does Tosfos Dafka point out this gematria that Hakesef relates to ha'etz? So this comes from a medrash in Esther Rabbah. So in the Sefer Reach Dudayim, he explains that Tosfos brings this medrash because l'chora, the pasuk itself doesn't make sense. The pasuk says nasun lach, and nasun is not really the right word. He's not giving Haman any money. Haman never gave him money in the first place. He should have said hakesef yihilach, that the kesef will be yours, let it stay yours. Like Esav says to Yaakov when he wanted to give him matanos, achi yihilach asher lach, and let yours be yours. So that's why Tosfos quotes the medrash over here, because piv shel Achashverosh hechshilo, Achashverosh didn't even realize that he was saying something in an unusual manner, because he was saying something that was going to prove to be prophetic, that when he said a kesef nasal nach, that the eights will be nasal nach to Haman to be hanged on. So that's how he explains why Tosfos Dafka points it out over here. It's also interesting, the Achronim discuss the Sefer Anaf Yosef, why is it that the Jewish people in the eyes of Achashverosh are like a mound, and in the eyes of Haman are like a ditch? What's the difference between a mound and a ditch? They both hated the Jewish people, they both wanted to get rid of them, so why the difference in the way that they viewed them? So by Achashverosh, Achashverosh viewed them as a very great people, and he had a great deal of jealousy for them. He didn't want them in his malchus because he felt insecure. So he said, so for him they were a mound. But when it comes to Haman spoke about the Yehudim, the Jewish people, in an entirely different way. In his eyes, the Jewish people were beneath him; they were too low. So he said, "Melech in shovel anicha, amufuzer mufurad," that he was mezalzel in the Jewish people, and therefore he refers to them as a ditch. That's what the Anaf Yosef suggests. The Chassam Sofer says a little different. The Chassam Sofer says that by Achashverosh they're compared to a tell, because he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael by raising them up like a mound, by giving them kavod, by giving them a party, by giving them to drink, by giving them everything they want, and that's also going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Haman was interested in destroying Klal Yisrael by digging a ditch, by burying them, by making them lower. So they're both different ways of destroying Klal Yisrael, and that's exactly the point the Gemara is making. That you might look at Achashverosh and Haman and say, Haman was a bad guy, Achashverosh was a good guy. He was good-hearted, he was trying to give to us, he was giving so much, he was giving wine and a feast and a party. So we should realize that they're both our enemies, and that both of those approaches toward us are going to ultimately be our undoing if we don't stop it. So the king removes his signet ring. That one moment of removing the ring was greater than the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os that were misnave for Klal Yisrael. The point of a Navi coming to Klal Yisrael is to put us on the right path. All of the Nevi'im, all the Nevi'os couldn't get us to do tshuva, couldn't get us to go on the right path, but one moment of Achashverosh taking off that Taba'as and making that decree against the Jewish people begins this entire tshuva movement where Klal Yisrael is machzir l'mutav. There are 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os that were misnavi for Klal Yisrael. And they didn't take anything away or add anything to the Torah except for Mikra Megillah. The only thing that they added onto the Torah is Mikra Megillah. My drosh, what drosha do they make to teach that they could do that? They figured that if we say Shira when we go from Avdus Lecherus, when we go from slavery into freedom, then certainly we could say Shira when our very lives are threatened, when we go from death to life. So if we say Shira after Yitzias Mitzrayim, we should say Shira after the story of Purim, and that's where they added to the Torah Mikra Megillah. So the Iyun Yaakov says, in what way is that Paschu? He says, Lo Paschu Lo Siru Chutz Mikra Megillah. So that's Osiru. Mikra Megillah is an addition. It should have just said Velo Osiru. So the Iyun Yaakov suggests that they were Misaki, by being Misaki Mikra Megillah, that day becomes Aser Behesper Tainus. So that's Paschu Al Mashakas B'Torah also, by telling us we can't fast and we can't make a hasbid. But Ben Yoyada says, no, it doesn't make sense because there's no mitzvah to fast in those days. So it's not Paschal Masha Shekhasa Batorah when you say that you can't fast, and hasbid is not a din d'oraisa to begin with. So that's also not Poches mi Divrei Torah. So what does it mean, Lo Pachsuv Lo Siru? So he suggests that maybe the Iyun Yaakov's approach could be correct, and maybe we're talking about a case where a guy took a neder to fast for a certain number of days, and anytime a person takes a neder, min HaTorah, he's chayiv to fulfill that neder. So if he took a neder to fast, then the fast becomes a fast araisa. So when they were misakin Mikra Megillah, they made it usher to fast on that day. Then the Ben Yoyada suggests that it could be the Brisa talking about something else, that we said on Daf Gimel and Ralph that we're mevatel avoda in Talmud Torah l'shmo Mikra Megillah. So that's Paschu Pachsum Meshu Kazu B'Torah, that we're taking away dinim in the Torah. Avoda Torah, those are certainly dinim d'oraisa that we don't do because of the takana of Mikra Megillah. Now Rashi over here says, wait a second, the only thing the Rabbanan added or subtracted from the Torah is Mikra Megillah. So Rashi says, that doesn't seem correct. Vim Tomer, Ner Chanukah. What about Ner Chanukah? They added that to the Torah. So Kvar Pascha Anavim, Avim Mordechai, Havachagai Zechariah Malachi. So Rashi says that by the time Ner Chanukah came around, there were no Nevi'im. So the Nevi'im didn't add that to the Torah. That came from a later generation. But in Mordechai, they still had Nevi'im around. There was Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, so the Nevi'im actually did add to the Torah. The Ran asked the same question, that there are lots of Takanos and Yisurim D'Rabbanan. How can we say Lo Hasiru? And the Ran says that everything that the Chamar Masakin as a Siyag L'Torah, a Geder La'Avera, something that they tell you, don't do this because it will come to bring you to violate an Isra D'Araisa, so that's Mishmartim is Mishmarti. That's actually a fulfillment of what it says in the Torah. That's not being Mosif on what it says in the Torah, because that the Torah explicitly says, Asumishmeres l'mishmarti, that we have to build protections around the Torah. But the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it's its own mitzvah. It has nothing to do with any mitzvah d'oraisa. So that's Osiru al Mashakas b'Torah. So Hasemis explains that there are misakin a lot of mitzvahs, but the Braisa means the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is the only one that was nitnili kasev. So Hasemis says different. He says that's what made Mikra Megillah different. It was the only one that became its own book in Tanakh, whereas all the other mitzvahs were simply Takanos Rabbanan. The Rashash explains that Ein Navi Rashi L'Chadish Davar, that's only Ali De Nevuah Ruach HaKodesh, but to be Mesakin and to be Gozer and make Takanos Gzerus, those things, that certainly a Navi was permitted to do. The uniqueness of Mikra Megillah was that it was Alpi Nevuah. We learned before that they weren't going to write it down, but Esther was Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. So since it was Beruach HaKodesh Nemra, so it was added Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what made Mikra Megillah different. So frankly, Gemara, Ihachi Halal Nami Nema, but if you're going to believe this Svara, if you're going to take this Svara, that if we say Shira when we go out of Mitzrayim, then we should first for sure say Shira when we experience a Purim story, well, if that's the case, then we should definitely say Hallel as well. We should because Hallel also. We should make the same Kal V'Chomer from Yitzias Mitzrayim. So answer Gemara, three answers. Number one, the Fishenor Hallel on Neisha B'Chutz La'aretz. First of all, we don't say Hallel on any Neis that occurs in Chutz La'aretz. So, frankly, Gemara Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Neisha B'Chutz La'aretz, Hechemrin and Shira. What are you talking about? We say Hallel in Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that was in Neis in Chutz La'aretz. Kedetanya Achlo Nichnu Yisrael La'aretz Huchshuru Kal Aratzos Lomer Shira. Mishen Nichnu Yisrael La'aretz Lo Huchshuru Kal Aratzos Lomer Shira. Before we ever enter Eretz Yisrael, so you're allowed to say Shira on a Neis Shabuchutz Laretz. Once we enter Eretz Yisrael, then we no longer say Shira on a Neis Shabuchutz Laretz. The Marsha in Maseches Erechim, Daf Yudam Beis, explains that the Hanhaga Bechutz Laretz is not Al Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo Ve'atzma, that whatever happens to us is through Shliach, through Malach in Chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's under the direct Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not right to say Hallel on a Neis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do B'Chvodo. kvodo va'atzmo. That's why we don't say Hallel on Nesha b'chutz la'aretz. And the Yun Yaakov Nervin says that when we're in chutz la'aretz in enemy territory, so nisim happen at every moment, and therefore we can't say Hallel. Meaning, so it takes a little bit of an opposite approach. So it's not that it's a lower level of nisim. It's that we need so many nisim, we'd be saying Hallel forever and ever. The very fact that we survive, the fact that the Jews could survive in all these anti-Semitic countries throughout all these years, it's a constant nace. So we would be saying Hallel forever. It would be Omer Hallel b'chol yom. So it would just be impossible. So that's why we dafka have, when it's a nace in Eretz Yisrael, says the Iyun Yaakov, that's when we could say Hallel, because that's not l'malam min ateva, that our very survival is not l'malam min ateva. So when a nace actually happens, we can focus on that nace and say Hallel on that nace. So both very meaningful ideas about the Marsha and the Iyun Yaakov as to what it is about the fundamental difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. The Marsha, that in Eretz Yisrael we're under the direct Hashkach of Hashem, and Chutz La'aretz we're not, and the Iyun Yaakov, that in Chutz La'aretz we need constant miracles to survive, in Eretz Yisrael we do not. We have a miracle that is really an unusual thing in Eretz Yisrael. Second possibility of why it is that we don't say Hallel on Purim, so Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zuhei Lila, we do say Hallel. The Kriyasa Megillah is the Hallel that we say on Purim. Kriyasa Megillah is in place of Hallel. Rava Amar, third answer, Bishlam Hasma Alalu Avdei Hashem Alalu Avdei Paro Elohach Alalu Avdei Hashem Alalu Avdei Achashverosh Akati Avdei Achashverosh Hanan. But it makes sense to say Hallel on the Nes of Pesach, because we're free of Paro's bondage. But to say Hallel on the Nes of Purim, why would we say Hallel? We're still Avadim Tachashverosh, meaning the Gula didn't happen. We remained living under Achashverosh's rule. So we're not going to say Hallel for that. So says the Gemara, Bein LaRava, Bein LaRav Nachman, both according to Rav and Rav Nachman, the last two answers, that either the Kriyas HaMegillah is in place of Hallel, or that we didn't experience a full salvation. It's difficult, because it sounds like if not for that, we would be saying Hallel, that Purim is a day that we should have Hallel. You understand, according to the first answer, we don't say Hallel at all in Nesha B'chutz La'aretz. Fine, that works. But according to these other two approaches, it sounds like we would be saying Hallel in Purim if not for the fact that we already say Megillah and Megillah is like Hallel, or if not for the fact that we're still Avdei Achashverosh. But what happened to the idea that once we go into Eretz Yisrael, there's no more Hallel? Shouldn't that answer cover everything? Sounds like Gemara, Kivin Shagalu Chazru Lachsher Narishon. Now this is assuming, Rav and Rav Nachman are assuming, that once we go back into Galus, then we could say Hallel on Nesan Chutz La'aretz again. Once we're back in Galus, we're no longer bound by the limit of only saying Hallel in Eretz Yisrael. We could say Hallel in Chutz La'aretz as well. There's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. How do we paskin? Which of these three reasons do we paskin like? Well, the Ma'inav Kamina, they all say that we don't say Hallel. So the Meiri writes that if you say that Kriyasa Zuhei Lila, that reading the Megillah is in place of Hallel, let's say you're in a place where you don't have a Megillah. So should you then say Hallel because you're not going to do a Kriyasa Megillah? So the Meiri says, yeah, you should say Hallel. The only reason we don't say Hallel is because Kriyasa Zuhei Lila, that reading the Megillah is Hallel. So we can't read the Megillah. Good, so that's your Hallel. The Gemara also says that the other reasons that we don't say Hallel in Purim, Akati Avdei Achashverosh Hanan, Nesha B'chutz La'aretz. So according to those reasons, l'chora, we wouldn't say Hallel even if we don't have a Megillah. But the Miri says, yeah, but this is the Iker reason. The Kriyasa Zuhei Lila is the Iker reason, and therefore, if you don't have a Megillah, you would say Hallel. Birka Yosef quotes this Miri, and he says that Mistima Stivrei Aposkim, it sounds like we never say Hallel in Purim. Birka Yosef the Chida and Birka Yosef in Archaim Sim Tafresh Sadi Gimel says it seems that no one passes like the Miri. And the reason is that Rav is one that says the second reason in the Gemara, that Akati Avdei Achashverosh Hanan, or the third reason in the Gemara really, that Akati Avdei Achashverosh Hanan, and according to that reason, we would never say Hallel on Purim, and like the Miri himself pointed out, and Halacha Karava, because Hilchsa Kabasra, we always paskin like the latest opinion of Amoraim. Rava was the Basra, so we're going to paskin like Rava. So even though the Rif in his Girsa in the Gemara, and Dalet Amar Aleph, and Bedapei Rif, and the Ran are Gores Maskef La Rava, that Rava said it b'derech kushya on the previous reason, and he's saying, wait a second, anyway we shouldn't say halal on Purim because akati avdeach hashverosh anan, and the Gemara doesn't, but the Gemara never answers, even if you read it b'derech kushya, the Gemara never answers Rava's kasha, and therefore the halacha is still like Rava. So it doesn't make a difference whether you read it b'derech kushya or not, the halacha would still be like Rava, and that's why we never say halal on Purim. In Shari Chuvin, some Tafresh Sadi Gimel, he quotes the Chida, and he says, afal pikein, if a person doesn't have a Megillah to read, he should at least say halal without a bracha. Without a bracha before and without a bracha after. It'll just be machmir for the other opinion, for the Kriyasa Zoe Lula opinion, and it will be like Kari B'Tilim, it will be like a person saying Tilim. And he's also Mechadesh, that if you have a Chumash that you could read the Megillah from on your own, and you want to read halal without a bracha, you could still read halal without a bracha, because halal could be better than Kriyasa Megillah from a Chumash. I mean, Kriyasa Megillah from a Megillah is better than halal, but halal might be better than Kriyasa Megillah from a Chumash, because by halal we don't find any takana that it has to be the kashrus from a Sefer Torah, from a cloth, or anything like that. Whereas Kriyasa Megillah, the Ikar Takana, is to read it from a cloth, not to read it from a Chumash. So we should be Yotzei Yidei Shneim. If a person has a Chumash, doesn't have Megillah, has a Chumash, and has the ability to say Halal, so he should read from the Megillah from the Chumash and say Halal without a Bracha. That's what the Shari Tshuva writes. So a lot of the Achronim are not so thrilled with that Shari Tshuva. There is a, because it's not like, Halal is not one of those things that you just might as well do, because you know, what do you have to lose? You do have to lose by saying halal. The Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Yud Ches says that someone who's omer halal b'chol yom is a mecharif from a gadef, that it's considered blasphemy to say halal each and every day. So to say halal when it's unnecessary is considered to be a bad thing. So you can't just say halal because you might as well be machmir. Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva where he was asked about Purim that's chal b'Shabbos, where you would have, let's say, on Shushan Purim in Yerushalayim, that's Chal B'Shabbos, where we don't read the Megillah, we're makdimin to read it on Friday. So should we paskin like the Me'iri, the Minchas Yitzchak was asked, and say Halal on that Shabbos? Since we're not reading the Megillah that Shabbos, at least say Halal. So the Minchas Yitzchak says it really depends on the two reasons the Gemara gave earlier in Daf Dalet, why it is that we don't read Megillah on Shabbos. Is it because Shemi Yavrenu Dalet Amos B'Roshos HaRabim? If that's the case, so then there really is a chiv to read Megillah on Shabbos, just so we can't do the chiyuv because of a chashash of Shemi Yavirenu, and therefore maybe it would be a good idea to say halal because there's no chashash of Shemi Yavirenu b'halal because you don't need a klaf for halal. But according to the other reason, the Gemara Einem Shalanim Nesuos the Mikra Megillah, that we dafka have to have the Mikra Megillah on a day other than Shabbos because Aniyim wait for everyone to gather together, so we don't want to have a gathering together to say halal. We want the gathering together to be dafka for Megillah and dafka not on Shabbos. So then we dafka wouldn't say halal on the Shabbos. That's what he thinks it's totally on those two deos that we had earlier. Back in the Gemara, second wide line, Vesu Leka, wait, were there no more Nevi'im amongst Klal Yisrael than 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os? Vaksiva Yishachad Miramasim Sofim, and we darshan, what's Haramasim Sofim? Ech Ramasim is Echad Mimasayim Sofim is Nevi'im Sofim, Shenisnavalim Yisrael, that one of 200 Nevi'im that were Misnavi for Klal Yisrael. So you see the numbers were much greater than 48 Nevi'im. And Sigmar Mahavatu Vahavu, there were plenty of Nevi'im that existed. There were twice as many Nevi'im as there were people that left Mitzrayim. But those Nevuos that were needed for generations, that had a message that was more than just the message for that time in history, but that were going to impact future generations, those were the ones that were written down. Other ones that were only needed for that generation were not written down. So the number 48 relates to the Nevuos that were Hutzucha L'Doros. Rabbi Shomer he says Haramasayim Tzofim refers to a person who came from two mountains that see each other, that you could look and see from one to the other. Rabbi Chanan Amar Adam Abami Bnei Adam Shomdim Berumo Shalolam. It refers to a person who comes from people who stand Berumo Shalolam, a person who descends from people who stand Berumo Shalolam. Who stands Berumo Shalolam? Man in who? Bnei Korach. The Bnei Korach. The Chsivu Bnei Korach Lo Mesu. Because it says the Bnei Korach didn't die. So it's not about Nevi'im necessarily, and therefore it doesn't tell us that there were more than 48 Nevi'im. That there was a special place, elevated place in Gehenim where the Bnei Korach are. So we had mentioned before that there are 7 Nevi'os, 7 female Nevi'im for Klal Yisrael. Who are these 7 Nevi'os? So the Gemara identifies them: Sarah, Miriam, Dvorah, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, and Esther. Those are our 7 Nevi'os. Now we go through one by one. How do we know that each of these women were Nevi'os? Sarah, Dichsiv, Avi Milka, Avi Yischa. Vamra Yitzchak Yascha Zusara. Yascha is actually Sarah. Velominikrishma Yascha Shesachsa Bracha Kodesh. Why is she called Yascha? It's a lotion of seeing. Shesachsa, that she had visions. She was able to see with Racha Kodesh. Shneimer Kol Hashem Tomer Elecha Sarah Shema B'Kola. Like Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, anything that Sarah says, you should listen to her. Davar Acher Yascha Shakol Sochin Biyafya. That it has to do with looking, but it's not about what she's looking at. It's about how everyone would look at her. That everyone would gaze at her beauty. Miriam, the second Aviyah, is Miriam, d'chsiv v'tikach Miriam and Aviyah achos Aaron v'lo achos Moshe. Why does it say that Miriam and Aviyah achos Aaron took? Why is it not, was she not achos Moshe? She was achos Moshe also. So if you had to identify her yichus, why would you call her achos Aaron, not achos Moshe? So Amrav Nachman Amrav shayisum esnavis kashi achos Aaron. Now it's telling us that she was already in Aviyah when she was only the achos Aaron, meaning before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Va'omeris, and she said, Asida imi shetelet ben she yashias Yisrael, my mother's going to have a baby that's going to save the Jewish people. U'b'sha shenolam nismali kol abayis kulo'ora. Then when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house filled with light. Amr avi avinosh kal rosha. Her father gets up and kisses her on her head. Amr la biti niskaim nevua seich. And he said, my daughter, your nevua was fulfilled. V'kivin sheshlichu le'yar. Amr avi avitav kal rosha. But once they had to throw him into the river, her father came and tapped her on her head, patched her on her head. Amr la biti. And he said, where's your nevuah now? That's what the pasuk says. The sister stood from far to know. What does it mean to know? Ladas mayyebisof nevuasa. To see what's going to happen with her nevuah, because she still had a feeling that her nevuah was going to come true. Devora, where do we see Devora was a navi? Devora isha nevia isha slapidos. She was a prophetic woman. Isha slapidos. My isha slapidos. What does isha slapidos mean? Shaisaosa psilos amigdash. She would make the wicks for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but the pasuk says explicitly that she was a Neviyah. V'yosha, but we just mentioned some other things about Devorah. Once we mention her, V'yosheves tachas tomer, she sat underneath a date tree. Maishna tachas tomer, why would she dafka sit there? Amr b'shem ben avshalom, mishum yichud, in order to avoid any potential issues of yichud, meaning she couldn't sit indoors, because people, men would come to consult with her, people would come to meet with her, and it would be a violation of yichud, so that's why she sat underneath the date tree. Davar acher, matamar zayin or it could be that it was symbolic, sitting under a date tree, just like a date tree has only one heart. So too, Klal Yisrael had one united heart, Laviyam Shabashmaim. Now, Klal Yisrael all were dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Mishum Yichud, Tos points out, Shabon Eila B'nei Yisrael L'Mishpat, that the Yichud was when people would come for judgment, when people would come to her to be judged, because she would judge people all the time. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, in Eben Ezer, in Hilchus Yichud, in Simon Chav Beis, there is a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch tells us the halacha that appears in the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin, that if you have Pesach, Pesuach, L'Rosh HaSarabim, that avoids the Yichud problem. You can get rid of Yichud by having a door open to the Rosh HaSarabim. So there's a machlokas amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim, what the geder of that din of Pesach, Pesuach, L'Rosh HaSarabim is. The Beis Meir and other poskim say that as long as the door is closed, even if it's not locked, even if you think someone might walk in at any time without knocking first, at any moment, still it's an issue yichud. Pesach pasuach means what it sounds like. It's got to be Pesach pasuach l'Rosh Hashanah, that at the moment that you're there, people can see inside, that anyone walking by would be able to see inside. So when you have that, then you're not in the matzav of yichud. Yichud means you're alone, where no one can see you. So if you're alone, where no one can see you, but someone might be able to come in and then see you, that's not good enough. You have to be alone, where no one can see you. That's what the Beis Meir understands. The Binyan Sion says that if that's the case, then avoiding yichud is going to be nearly impossible. He says, what are you going to do when you're home and the misharesas, the maid, walks in and she naturally closes the door behind her? So you automatically violated yichud, even though she didn't lock the door, even though your wife could come in at any time and other people come in at any time. He said it would be impossible. It would be impossible to avoid yichud in that situation. So he says no. Yichud means the Pesach Pesuach rather means that someone can come in at any time. The door could even be closed as long as it's not locked. As long as someone can come in at any time, that's not going to be a problem of yichud. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that yichud is dafka when it's locked with a key. Sounds like when it's not locked, it's not an issue of yichud. That's how many other poskim, the Radvaz, the Mabit, they all say that dafka, if it's locked with a key, it's going going to be a violation of yichud. Chaznish is even making that if a person is sure that no one is even if a person knows that no one's coming because he doesn't have any friends in the neighborhood and no one ever comes to visit him, it would still be mutter because emes rabim alav, that by nature a person always if the door's not locked he's always afraid that someone might come in. So the Binyan Siyum proves from our sugya, like the sheet of the Beis Meir and Rabbi Kiveger, that are machmir, that hold that you need a pasuach mamish, because in our sugya it says devara and avia eshes lapidos, she was yosheves tachas tomer, why mishum yichud, which and Rashi explains shu gava ve'in lo tzel, that it's a tall tree that doesn't have any shade, so no one could be misyachid with her like in a house, meaning everyone could see it's wide open. If you're going to say that only a locked door would be called yichud, so why does she have to sit tachas a tomer? She could sit underneath any tree, even a tree that has a lot of leaves, because anyone could walk in. There's no way to lock a tree. So if you hold that that only a lock would be a problem of yichud, only if there's a lock there would be a problem of yichud, she wouldn't need to be underneath the tamer. So it sounds like from our Gemara, it sounds like the more machmir shita, that the only way to avoid yichud was by being somewhere where she's totally visible, where everyone can see from even far away. The Marsham says not such a good ride. The Marsham writes in the Chumen Chelik Beis Simanayin Vav. He says that maybe it's a midah Rabbeinu Yonah holds that it's still a midas chasidus, that even if you hold that Pesach Pesuach just means that you shouldn't have Pesach Pesuach just means that you should have a door that's unlocked, but it's still a midas chasidus to do better than that, and to have a door that's wide open that people could see from the outside. So Mestama, she kept a midas chasidus. So Chana, moving on to the next Neviyah, Chana duchsev atzpal, Chana v'tomer olat libi b'Hashem, Rama karni b'Hashem. What does that mean? Rama karni v'lo Rama pachi, my keren was raised, but not my pach and my jug. Davar u'shlomo sh'nimshchu b'keren, nimshchu malchusan. It's a remnant of the fact that Davar and Shlomo, who were anointed with a keren, their malchus extends. Sha'ol v'yehu sh'nimshchu b'pach, lo nimshchu malchusan. But Sha'ol and Yehu, they had their mashicha with the shemen, with a pach, with a jug, their malchus doesn't extend. Ein kadosh kashem, ki ein biltecha. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Menashe, al tikri biltecha, ela levaloscha. Don't read biltecha aside from you, but rather levaloscha, to outlast you. Shalokim midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas Basar V'dam. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates is different than the way people operate. Midas Basar V'dam Maisi Yadam V'Alanoso. A person builds something, he builds a building, he builds a table, he builds a chair. Very often he's going to die, and that which he built, that which he constructed, is still there. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu M'Valan Maisi Yadav. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu outlasts all of his Maisi Yadayim, everything that he creates. Ve'in Sur Kelukenu. We say that there is no artist, and there's no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ain't sire kelokenu. Ain't sur literally means a rock, but we darshin ain't sire kelokenu, that there's no artist like Hashem. Adam tzar tzura al gabi akosel, ve'inu yachol lahatl baruach l'neshama, krivayim ubnei me'ayim. A person could draw a picture, but he can't make it move, he can't make it live, he can't make it breathe, he can't give it internal organs, even if he does animation or whatever, it doesn't have, so it moves, and it doesn't have internal organs, it's not a living thing, so it's just an image. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzar tzura b'tok tzura umatel baruach u'neshama krevayim u'bnei me'ayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only does he make a tzura, he makes a tzura b'tok tzura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a baby grow inside of another person, and while it's growing inside of the mother, he's going to be able to put inside of the baby all the limbs and organs that the baby is going to need. Avigail, where do we find Avigail was in Avia? This is when Avigail was married to Naval first, and Naval was Kishmo Kenhu. He was a Menuvel, he was a terrible person, and David was going to kill him because he was married by Malchus, so Avigail went to intervene to stop David from doing that. So she went and she was riding on a Chamor, and she was Yoredes Peseser Ahar, going down by the dark side of the mountain. So Besesar Ahar Mina Harmi Baile. Why that expression Besesar Ahar, in the hidden part of the mountain? Should have just said from the mountain. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Al Iske Dam Haba Min Astarim. She was coming to talk to David about Dam Nida, about Dam that comes Min Astarim. Not the Dam Veharasalo. She took Dam and she showed it to David. She asked David a Shaila with the Dam. So Amar Lav Chimar and Dam Belaila. So David says to her, you should know better than to ask me a Shaila about Dam at night. You're not allowed to see Dam belayla. You're not allowed to look at nida shayla at night. So amalav he dan dinin nefashos belayla. So she was setting him up. She said, yeah. And are you allowed to be dan dinin nefashos at night? How are you allowed to come and kill my husband at night? So amalav David says, well, mar b'malchusu v'lo tzorach l'medayne. You're right, but I don't need to be dan him because he's a mar b'malchus, and therefore he doesn't. You don't even need judgment. You could just kill a mar b'malchus. So that's why I'm going to kill him. Amalav adayin shaul kayim v'lo yotze tavach b'olam. Mar b'malchus. She says, you're not a melech. Shaul's still around. He's still the king. So amalav baruch taimechu brucha at asher kilisani yomazeh mi baba damim. He says, thank you very much because you prevented me from committing sins of blood. Damim tarti mashma. Sins of blood implies two separate sins of blood. Well, what two sins of blood was it? It was that she stopped him from murdering her husband, but that's one. El malamit shegilsa ashoka v'halach laor gimel parsos. It's that she revealed her thigh, and the light that emanated from that went three parsos, and he chased after her for three parsos. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains in the back of the Gemara, wait, they were already talking. What do you mean he chased after her for three parsos? He saw her thigh, and she started running away from him. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, no, what must have happened is that she was a beseser, she was on the dark side of a mountain, and what? She was, Abigail is going to reveal her thigh to a strange man who she's not married to? So, no, she was riding on a donkey, she must have slipped or something, and her skirt came up, her dress came up, her thigh was revealed. David sees this great light on the other side of the mountain, he chases three parsos. The story is not being told in order. That's what happened first, that's how we found her. And he had this tremendous taiva for her, and then she started asking him the nida shayla, and setting him up to ask that question about how he's allowed to kill her husband. So he shamili. So he said to her, he tried to seduce her. He said, listen to me. I want you to sleep with me. So Amrullah, she said, lotia zos lechalafuka. No, this is going to be terrible for you. It's not a good idea. Zos mechal dika achriti. Sounds like when she said, let this not be your downfall. Sounds like there's going to be another similar situation that taka will be your downfall. Umayniu ma'is debasheva umaskana hachiavai. That was the Maisa de Basheva, and she was right. So you see, she was Misnave. She knew what was going to be in the future. The story of Basheva was going to be in the future. That was going to be his downfall. Now, a lot of the Rishonim mentioned that there was a minag apparently that existed that a woman who was a nida would not go into shul, would not touch any sifrei kodesh, and some of them even mentioned a minag that women wouldn't say the Shem Hashem, that they wouldn't they would never say the, a woman who's a nida would never say the Shem Hashem. So a lot of the Rama writes two opinions on this matter. Beis Yosef says it's all ridiculous, that there's nothing stopping women from going into shul when she's in need or anything like that. The Rama quotes in Archaim Sun Peches both deos, and he says the minig b'medina seilus kisvar rishona, that women who are nida do not go into shul. Magaravam says, what do you mean that women are chayiv in berchas hamazon midaraisa? How could you pater them from brachos? You're going to say they don't say the Shem Hashem. The chayiv midaraisa, so based on some minag, you're going to take away chayiv midaraisa that women have. So he says, at the very least, they should shomei akona. They should at least hear berchas hamazon from someone else if they have to bench while they're in nida. Now most of the rishonim don't mention this idea of not saying Hashem's name when a woman's in nida, but some of the Rishonim do mention it. So in the Sefer Kerem Shlomo, he proves from Aras Sugya that of course she's allowed to say the Shem Hashem, because what happens over here? Avigail is coming to ask a shayla in Hilchas Nida. Aliske dam, that's bestarim. So she came to ask a shayla in Hilchas Nida, so obviously she was in nida. How does she greet him? Chai Hashem v'chai nafshecha. She mentions the Shem Hashem. So you have beferish in the Pesukim that you say the Shem Hashem, that a woman says the Shem Hashem when she's in nida. So our practice seems to be not that way. We don't have these kinds of restrictions on nida. Mishra Bruce says she shouldn't look at the writing of the Sefer Torah during Hagbah or whatever. Okay, so depending how high the mechitza is, often she's not able to anyway. So, but whatever the various menagim are, these go way, way back to the times of the Rishonim. Okay, v'ayisa nefesh adoni tzrur b'tzorah chayim, and she says to David that, it's interesting, she uses a phrase that we use for dead people. We say nafsho tzur b'tzor chayim is a reference we say to people who are dead, that they should be bound up with the, you know, in life. But that was a bracha that she had given to David. Kavs mifter minei amrelei. So when she was parting from David, she said to him, Ve'etiv Hashem la'adoni v'zacharta samasecha, that Hashem will do good to you and you should remember me. So Amrav Nachman hainu damri inshi itza b'hadishu sapilcha. That's what people say, that even while a woman is spinning the thread, outside, she's still talking, or even while she's talking, she's still spinning, meaning she could be doing one thing right now and still laying the groundwork for the future, what's going to be in the future. That if you look at a goose when it walks, it stoops down, but its eyes are looking far away. So here she is married to Neville. She just convinced David not to kill Neville, but she says, remember me, one day Neville's going to die and I wouldn't mind marrying you, so remember me for the future. So that's why Abigail was already laying the groundwork of her future with David already at that point in time. Now, in our sugya, the Gemara said that the reason why David HaMelech thought that he didn't deserve an actual Din Torah is because he was married by Malchus, and it sounds like you don't need a Din on married by Malchus. Now, the main sugya of married by Malchus is and whether you need Din or not is obviously in Gemara and Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Vav, Rabbi Barchana says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you should be masculine and atzad bedinei nefashos because of based on the pasuk by the Maisa with Novel. So married by Malchus, it's very clear in that Gemara that we are done a person who's married by Malchus. So Tos over here raises that issue, and Tos says it doesn't mean when David says that you don't have to be done him, that you don't have to be done him at all. It means that he doesn't have all of the details that we normally have in dinei nefashos, that we're done by yom lizchus and biyom shala achrav lechova, meaning all the systems that we put into place to try to save a person who are being done dinei nefashos. You don't have that on a married by Malchus. In Maseches Sanhedrin, Tos says a little differently. He says no, he doesn't need any sort of din Torah, but you do need to know that he actually was married by Malchus. It can't just be hearsay. You do need to have edim that he was married by Malchus. So that you have to have. You have to have a Kabbalah Seidus. The Rambam paskins, they don't even need Kabbalah Seidus. The Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Melachim says, Kol Amarid B'Melech, Yesh L'Melech Rishus L'Horgo. That anyone's married by Melech, that's it. You don't even need the Eidus about it. You just need to believe it. The Melech just needs to believe it, and then he has Rishus to kill the person who's married by Malchus. Okay, further in the Gemara, Chulda is also Nevi'a, Duchsiv Ha'il Chilkiyo Ha'koin Va'achikam Va'achbor, U'makum Dekai Yirmiyo Heichim Yisavi'i. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, if Yirmiyo was around, why was she allowed to be in Nevi'a in the days of Yirmiyo? Shouldn't she have deferred to Yirmiyo? Sami B'Rav Mishmeid Rav Chulda Krovus Yirmiyo. I said they were related to each other. V'lov Ha'machmer Alei. So he didn't mind because they were close. They were related. They were relatives. V'yosho Gufei Heichi Shavik Yirmiyo Mushad Del Gaba. Yeah, but that explains why she was allowed to be Misnave. Why would Yoshio consult with her if he could have consulted with Yirmiyo? If you could consult with the greater Navi, if you have two doctors you can consult with, and one of them is the greatest expert, and the other one is whatever, is just beginning his training or something, so wouldn't you consult with the greatest expert? Why would you go to her? So Amri Debei Rebbe Shila Mipnei Sha'anashim Rachmani Yosein. Debei Rebbe Shila says, because women are Rachmanios, women are more merciful, and he thought that if he would consult with her, she would daven for Rachmanos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yirmiyo Lo Hava Hasam Shaluch Achzer Aseres HaShvatim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Yirmiyo wasn't available because he went to bring back the 10 lost tribes. Uminalan Da'ahadar, how do we know Yirmiyo brought back the 10 Shvatim? Dichsiv Ki Amokar Samim Kolo Yashuv, because Yirmiyo starts talking about Yovel and how Yovel one day is going to be Batel. Efshar Yovel Batel V'Navi Misnavi Alav Sheyevatel, but if 10 tribes were lost, then it should have already been Batel, because Yovel is only Noheg when Rov Yoshveh Aleha, when we have most of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. If 10 tribes were lost, they already didn't have Yovel, so how could he be Misnavi about the future when Yovel is going to be Batel? So Ela Malamit Yirmiyo Zero, and it must be that Yirmiyo brought back the 10 tribes, and therefore Yovel was Noeg, and that leaves him room to be Misnavi, then in the future Yovel won't be Noeg. V'yoshio ben Amon Melech Alei, and duchsiv ayomer ma'atzion ala zeshar nira, ayomer elav anshe'ir, hakever ish alukim asher bami Yehuda v'yikros edvar me'ila asher sisal mizbeach v'beisel. V'chimat tivu shal Yoshio ala mizbeach v'beisel. What was Yoshio doing by the mizbeach in Beisel that wasn't under his jurisdiction? El melamit Yoshio Melech Alei. So you see that Yoshio ruled over those 10 tribes, that he didn't only rule over the two. Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman says from the following pasuk, Gam Yehuda shas katzio lach b'shuvi shuvos ha'ami. That he's appointed for you, that Yehuda is also appointed for you to rule over you. Esther, where do we know that Esther was Nevi'a? Duchsiva Yibe Yom Ashishiv Etilbash Esther Malchus. That Esther wore Malchus. Big day Malchus, me by the way. You don't wear Malchus, you wear big day Malchus. Why does it say Malchus? Elishalav Shasa Ruach HaKodesh. It means that she was adorned with Ruach HaKodesh. Ksiv Hacha Vatilavash Uksiv Hasam Ruach Lavsha Esamasai. So you see that it's a reference to Ruach HaKodesh. Amrav Nachman Lo Ya'a Yihirusa Linashi. That being in a position of authority is not good for women. Tarti Nashi Yihiran Havyan Vesanyan Shemayu. two women were in positions of authority and it caused, and they had bad things happen. Chadashma ziburta, meaning they had bad names. Chadashma ziburta, one of them had a name that meant an insect, a bee, meaning the devora really means a bee. V'chadashma karkushta, and one of them had a name that really means a weasel. Chulda is a weasel. Ziburta ksiba v'tishlach v'tikra lebarak, that she had this, she demanded Barak to come to her. So you see that she had this arrogance or this gaiva. Vilu ihi lo azul gabe, she didn't go to him. And karkushta ksivba, and by the weasel, by Chulda, it says imru l'ish v'lo amra imru l'melech. When she sends a message to the king, she says imru l'ish, she doesn't say imru l'melech. So this is part of the idea. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, that we're not ma'amid isha b'malchus because l'osas melech melech v'lo malka. And then he adds v'chein kol mesimos Rabbi Yisrael emunu b'melech ish. Anytime you have an appointment, it's only a man, you don't appoint women to positions of Srara. And all the Nosi Kelim say, where did the Rambam get that from? It doesn't say anywhere that women don't have positions of Srara in the Gemara. It says Melech v'lo Malka, that the Gemara has such a drasha, but it doesn't say anything about positions of Srara. So some of the Akronim point to this Gemara, that lo yah yirusa l'nashi, that being in these kinds of positions of Srara is not good for women, that it always turns out bad for them. It speaks badly of them if they're in positions of this kind of authority. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up Amar Rav Nachman.